Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. May the 6th, 2017. That's what this satsang is for. Oh, we're going to talk about guilt and shame. Everybody's favorite subject. I cannot believe the amount of emails I get on this subject. It just goes on and on and on. I'm not going to be able to end the cycle of guilt and shame for you today, I'm sorry to say. And there's no quick formula like you'd like to believe there is, but I can give you some hints, some insights. There's no reasoning with you when you get guilty and ashamed. But before we get into all this, while we're talking about guilt and shame, these radio programs, as you know, are supported and made possible by our sponsors. And you should feel very guilty and ashamed that you're not one of them, because I'm going to help you today. Oh, that worked, didn't it? So I want to thank my sponsors for being so kind and generous. If you are listening to this radio program and you don't feel guilty and ashamed for not supporting it because you listened to it, then shame on you, and you deserve the guilt you get, and blah, 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 blah. That's religion. And you know that stuff works, so I should probably use it more, but I couldn't live with myself. I just couldn't. Thank you, my sponsors, for being so kind, so generous, and so wonderful. And if you really do enjoy these programs, I hope you will become a sponsor. Just come to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, and there you will see support. And if you click that little button, a menu will come down, Why Support Aspire. It will tell you all about where your donations go, how important they are, and you can even sign up there. And for your donations, becoming a sponsor, you get the message of the month, my commentaries, my podcasts, and my video casts, and 122 discourses I've given over the years on the various TV programs I've done, Emmy winners, Telly winners. I hope you will go and take a look. These discourses, well, they're a large body of work that will help you in so many wonderful ways if you listen to them. And I'm sure you're going to find some answers there. I promise you, you will. So become a sponsor and help us, won't you? No guilt, no shame. Guilt and shame. Boy, oh boy, do we need it. We don't do a thing without it. It's an emotional deal with us. We live in a guilt complex, and we live in a guilt culture. It's here's how the definition of it goes in the dictionary. The fact of having committed or specified or implied offense or crime, a feeling of having done wrong or failed in an obligation. Well, yeah. Okay. Before we begin, we all have to admit some things, okay? We do. We're not as good a people as we'd like to think we are. We always have a reason for doing some crummy, crappy thing that we enjoy doing that we think evens the score through vengeance and pride. Sometimes we live by values and systems in our culture. Well, we do. The unconscious, the pedestrian mentality lives by all sorts of ugly assumptions and beliefs that they know who deserves what, and they shouldn't do this, and they can't have all that stuff that we do. It has its karma, and it does come back in many various forms back into our life, and here we are. Our guilt, our shame is based on the implied understanding that we think we have of knowing what is right and what is wrong and what is good and what is bad. We don't take into account the bigger picture. We are merely animals. If you haven't read the book Sapiens, you really need to read it. You really do. It's a wonderful book. I've read it three times. I'm on to the second book that he's written. Go take a look at Sapiens. It will help you understand you're an animal. And that's all you are until you awaken to something beyond your instincts. So guilt and shame have a lot to do with a lot of this stuff. So the first question comes from Sherry in Cincinnati, Ohio. I can't see myself. I can't observe what I'm doing without guilt and shame. How do I turn this guilt and shame off, Sherry? Sherry, I don't know what your background is. I don't know if you're Catholic or Mormon or, you know, Christian. I don't know. But the basis of all Christianity, they'll tell you, is Jesus. But no. The basis of all religion is guilt and shame. And without religion's guilt and shame, you're not going to be in religion. Nobody in there. Well, I'm going to say it. Right mind would be in religion at all, ever, if it weren't for guilt and shame. So it's the basis of all Christianity. It's what gets you into the church, and it's what gets you to give your wallet to them. And it's the Catholic Church here in Carmel is packed every Sunday morning, rain or shine, packed. Why? Standing room only. Because everybody feels so bad about themselves. So you say, I can't see myself or observe myself and what I'm doing without seeing guilt and shame. This is a thing that you have been taught by your church. I don't know if you go to church or what your religious background is, as I said earlier, but nonetheless, unless the nun. If you weren't taught some value, moral value about right and wrong, good and bad, you probably wouldn't be feeling as bad as you feel. And this is really an interesting point, more interesting than you might imagine. We won't do anything kind or loving ever, ever without guilt and shame being involved in it. It's the kind of animals we are. And we roam the earth looking and seeing and doing things that animals do because we're an animal, as you will find out in Sapiens. So if you're not maturing and growing, spiritually speaking, you're reduced down to an animal. And they do what they do to survive. And that's what it's all about. Survival. Everybody's into survival. Without survival, what would there be? You would be dead, you think, yada da yada da. The reason guilt and shame are so big is because they maturate into what we call survival modalities. And when you have to do stupid things or ugly things to survive, that's when it all hits. And you start becoming angry and hostile and all that other wonderful stuff. And that's where the guilt and shame start. You were taught guilt and shame. It is a useless emotion. I can't talk you out of it, Sherry. If I could talk you out, talk you down, I would. But it's implanted as an impulse in your genetic nature. It's in your genetics. You can't get it out. No matter what you do, you can't remove it. It's not something that surgically you could remove or psychologically you could remove. It's a part of your psychology. It's a part of everybody's psychology. Now, what can you do? You're going to have to recognize it for what it is. It's an emotion, an emotionality. And it's emotionality turned against yourself. So the only thing you can do is turn away from the emotionality. And I know you're saying, how am I going to do that? That's impossible. See, here's the deal. You've got to see that the pride you hold in your genetics gives the DNA the right to hold you hostage for what you've done. You and I will do things out of our DNA, okay, our chemistry, to survive. DNA is purely about survival. And then our genetics kick in to tell us how to do those things to make us survive or allow us to survive. And then once we realize what we've done, which has been so ugly, we feel guilty and ashamed for what we had to do to survive. This whole mechanism doesn't go away. And I keep harping on this with you. It doesn't go away. And the more you participate in it, the more your genetics will grow and grow and manifest. There is only one way out. You have got to practice stepping aside from your emotionality. And Sherry, since you're a woman, you probably won't be doing that in the near future. It's going to take a Herculean effort on your part. I don't know how old you are, but it's going to take a Herculean effort to step away from your emotions and not listen to your mind, which is saying to you, oh, you shouldn't have done that. That was a terrible thing you did. You know, you should feel bad about it. How could you do such a thing? And whip the hell out of you. You see, in the pedestrian mentality that lives off of the impulses of genetics, DNA, and emotionality, which those are all encompassed in, all there is condemnation. All there is. And if you observe your mind, if you actually watch it without listening to it, you can do that. You will see what I'm talking about is very true. How are you going to dump that? How are you going to get rid of that? You can't. You're going to have to practice. That's why we call inner work a spiritual practice. A practice. And I get all these emails from people that will say, well, Greg, if it's a practice, do you ever perfect it? There is perfecting it, but it's still a practice. And it's one more thing after another, after another, after another, until we awaken. There has to be something that takes over from the guilt and shame. And that must be, Sherry, love. And love, true love, authentic love, not emotional love, not Greg Penn love, not Sherry love, real love. And until that authentic love comes into your being, until you are immersed in it, you're going to find that there is nothing but difficulty after difficulty after difficulty in your life. And you're going to find that you are going to have guilt trips. You're going to be easily guilted. And everything you observe about yourself will give you one more reason to feel guilty and what people call hate themselves. It's a futile effort. Spiritual awakening is the practice of stepping aside from my emotionality. I give you catharsis meditations on my website, as you know. I give you meditations to work on. You're going to have to work on it. You're not going to slip this noose thinking, oh, I don't have to do all that stuff and spend that money and do all the things. I can just do it. You won't do it. You will never accomplish it without being consciously aware of it and working on yourself. Just FYI. Sherry, good luck to you. In Cincinnati, Ohio, please forgive me. Namaste. I've never been to Cincinnati, Ohio. They got a pretty good football team, though. All right, the next one comes from Jay, and he listens to us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Viva Las Vegas. Okay, I've missed my whole life due to trying to please other people. I can't stop. If I don't please them, I feel such guilt and shame. What do I do, Jay? Jay, you got to do the best you can with people, and then you got to drop it. I did a whole series on this. Nobody, and I mean nobody, likes you anyway. They all like you when you're doing things that benefit them. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of really helping people and doing things that mean something, I can tell you after 44 years of being a teacher, they don't like you. They want to hear certain things. They want to acknowledge only certain things. They're not interested in helping people and pleasing people. What would please people? Put a gun in your mouth and blow your brains out? Would you do that? People, you try to help them, not to please them. And if you please them, then they will just want more and more. They misunderstand the whole trip. So you got to understand something. You're going to have to learn how to live your life beyond the concept of right and wrong, good and bad. And if you don't do that, if you don't live beyond that, if you never get beyond the idea of right and wrong, good and bad, what to do? What to do? What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your living? What are you going to do? If you look at it from a spiritual point of view, you will get it. You have to understand pleasing people and then feeling proud of that is silly. Not pleasing people and feeling ashamed of it is silly. It depends on what it is. If you're trying to please a person to gain their favor, to get them to like you, your motives, even in your giving, aren't very kind. They're not very loving, and they're not forthright. But if you can let love live you, if you can live in love without the idea of right and wrong, good and bad, if you can live in the concept of living compassionately, then you have something. Now you have something meaningful in your life. People are not living in a meaningful way. They live in a kind of a hectic, kind of patchy, kind of haphazard, cavalier manner. And when we live in such a manner, we never please anyone, and we're always trying to please everyone. And it never works. I'm not here to please you. This discourse I'm giving to you right now is not meant to please you. I'm not pleasing you. I'm trying to reason with you a little bit and then take you into the mystery. The mystery of what it means to have not self-love. You'll never love yourself. Greg can't love Greg. Jay can't love Jay. It's impossible. People will tell you. People who don't know themselves, people who are arrogant or whatever, the Wayne Dyers that used to roam this earth, they would all tell you, oh, you have to love yourself. You can't. You can't. It is virtually impossible. You are love. You don't need to love. You are love. And that's very hard for the average person to understand because they're so busy identifying with their ego that they're trying to talk themselves into the idea of loving themselves out of the ego. This will never work. There's always going to be, remember, I want you to think about this, Jay. Your ego knows exactly the evil it does. It knows you inside and out. It is you. It's the you have adopted. So the more you say, I got to love myself, the more it says, oh yeah, you got to love yourself, all right. And then when you start to go into that silly idea of it, which is nothing more than a dream, it's fooling yourself. All of a sudden, the ego, the same mechanism that you were using to love yourself now turns on you and says, but you did this and you did that and you should feel ashamed of yourself here and you should feel ashamed of yourself over there. You should feel ashamed. And then it all starts over. I watch people in hospice. I work in hospice. I watch people who spent their whole life, Jay, feeling bad about themselves and dying. And as they die, they hope to God that they'll be forgiven by God for all the crappy things they did. And they'll tell me about all the crappy things they did. And they hope that God will understand, and then they die. Do you really want to live like that? Do you really want to live like that? A lot of people, it's fine, but it's not going to serve you well, and it's not going to help you in your life at all. So you're going to have to ask yourself, what am I doing here? What am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my living? What is this all about? So there you are. You can't stop. You're right. You'll just keep going and going and going like the little Energizer bunny until you get off the emotional wagon and stop living from the confines of your fears and your hates, your genetic disposition. Until that has changed, nothing in your life will. Try as you will, it won't change. I hope you have the courage. Please forgive me. Namaste. So interesting. The last question. How do we live, and this is from John, he does not tell me where he lives. How do we live with what we've done in our lives that has been so cruel? I feel so ashamed. It's the past. And only people hold us to the past. Anyone who truly loves you, John, would never hold you to your past. I would never hold you to your past. You have to have the right to mature and grow. And those who truly love you forgive you for that. They understand because they too have been through that, I am sure. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone, as Jesus said. So, the people that hold you to your past, the people that make you believe that you're a this or a that, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't feel that way. Really, don't. It's not necessary. This whole thing is about love. And to forgive is not something that you pronounce upon yourself. Forgiveness is a lifestyle, not a pronunciation. It's not a proclamation. It's a lifestyle. It's the way you live from within yourself. It is where you realize everything is in its perfect place at its perfect time. And there are times when you just have to let go of what you've said and done and begin again, begin anew, live in your heart of hearts, begin that practice, step away from the voices and the immaturity and the emotionality of it all and go towards the love of your heart. That's where it's at. And until you understand that, until you're willing of that, you're not going to find anything maturing within you. And it's all about maturing, is it not? Becoming mature? Of course it is. So let not your heart be troubled. Practice stepping away from your emotions. When emotions come up, let them come up. But do not think from them. Do not analyze them. Watch them. Just watch. Like you're listening to me right now. Just listen. Don't analyze. Don't argue. Don't fight. Just listen. Listen to what is going on like the sound of running water. Just listen. If you just listen without the need for interpretation or moral assumption, you will see how to forgive. In fact, you will see you are forgiven. And in some ways, you will start to realize, you know, the things I did, I couldn't have done anything else at that time. At that time, being the person I am, being that the chemicals running through my body were what they were. This is what I did. I followed my genetics. Now, I don't have to follow those genetics. Now I don't have to do all of that. I can live beyond the concepts and the little fears that I have for the sake of a love that is greater than anything I've ever known in my life. And you can. You must practice, though. And people don't want to practice. They want instant results. They want to reason it out in their brain. They want their reasoning and logic, to say, well, this is done, you should have done that, and it's reasonable to believe that this isn't going to happen, and on that shit goes. You just don't do it. It's crap, and it's mind crap, and it's not worth doing. at all. Let love live you. I hope that helps you. Without you sitting here in front of me, John, that's the best I can do on the radio. Oh, I'd love to say other things to you, but I'm running out of time and I gotta go. So please forgive me, won't you? Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I can help you with, I'm running out of time. Please email me. Come to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see email Greg and media. I'd love to hear from you. Or you can just email me at greg@aspire.org. greg@aspire.org. I'm out of here. Have a wonderful day. We'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.